Tonight is out of the book of Micah, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. God's regathering his people as a shepherd and king. Micah, who was a Judean from Moresheth in southwestern Palestine, preached to the common people of Judah. But God's coming judgment on the people for their sin against him and against each other would be unavoidable and severe, but in the end, his Abrahamic covenant would be honored and Israel would be blessed. We view Micah 2, 12 to 13 on God's gracious regathering of his people as a shepherd and king in fulfillment of that divine covenant. And we apply the passage for our insight and edification. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Micah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bothrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breakers come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them and the Lord on the head of them. In the future Messianic kingdom, God's regathering of his people will include all of Jacob. It's interesting, he didn't say all of Abraham. He said all of Isaac. He said all of Jacob. It's very significant. And since Jacob was the father of all of Israel's 12 tribes, this regathering will include the two tribes of the southern kingdom of Judah and the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, some think that this prophecy in the time of its blessing is being fulfilled today in the church, that this passage does not apply to a future literal messianic kingdom for Israel, but that the church has replaced Israel. But nowhere else in Scripture is the church ever presented as a descendant of Jacob. Now, several times the Apostle Paul refers to those who believe by faith as being children, spiritual children of Father Abraham, but never of Jacob. The descendants of Jacob are always exclusively the 12 tribes of Israel. It's very important to keep in mind. And Jacob's descendants are always identified as the physical offspring of Israel's patriarch, Jacob. So Micah chapter 2, 12 and 13 predicts the literal regathering of the Hebrew people for their long-awaited messianic kingdom under Jesus Christ at his second coming. Of course, as believers, we're going to be with him because the rapture occurs before the great tribulation period. We're with the Lord for the seven-year tribulation period. We come back with Christ in his second coming. He lands his feet on the Mount of Olives. We are with him, and then we come in with him. Wherever our Lord goes after the rapture, we go with him because we're the bride and he's the groom. Our Savior's the groom. Now, this regathering will involve a twofold ministry by the Lord in Israel's behalf. First of all, the Lord will regather and minister to his people as a shepherd. Though the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah had been divided without the Lord's leadership over both kingdoms, and since the days of Solomon's son Rehoboam, God will regather them together like sheep in a pen and like a flock in its pasture. When you gather sheep and you put them into a pen, they're pretty well crammed in there. So it's going to be tight. This is going to be unified. You're not going to have the split northern kingdom and the southern kingdom at all. It's going to be one great big fold. Now, this regathering will be so great that the land will throng with people, as the NIV puts it, as a noisy multitude of men, ESV. A noisy multitude of men. That's very true. Some Sundays when we are in fellowship hall, there are a group of young men, about six or seven, that stand around, and sometimes they can get quite noisy. In fact, I have to put my ear, especially when Carol Ori is speaking to me, I put my ear down like this, and I can barely hear her. But the men are carrying on, and they are a noisy group of men. You imagine a kingdom full of thousands of noisy men. You probably hear the noise many miles away. And this is all seen as something that is good, because you want the place teeming with people. A king is powerful if he has a kingdom that is teeming with people, and it will be. So, It's fascinating that this regathering will be great. It'll throng with people, a noisy multitude of men. Then much as a shepherd breaks open or clears the way for his sheep, going before them and leading them out of the gate to pasture, so the Lord will remove all obstacles to blessing for his people Israel. Sheep are notoriously timid. And if there's too much of an obstacle in the way, they won't get it. Dan LaPlante, who's raised sheep, has told me if the sheep are going to cross a pasture and there's a little pool of water that is flowing ever so gently, and it's about 3 inches wide, the sheep will be terrified of it. They will not cross it. They will try to go around it. So you have to provide something to wait. But they're very skittish. And so if there are any obstacles in the way, that's a problem. So the shepherd has to clear the obstacles out of the way, and that's what the Lord will do. And these are obstacles, figuratively obstacles to their blessing. So the Lord is going to remove all obstacles to the blessing for his people. The issue of sin will be handled, enemies will be handled, and all. Then the Lord will regather and minister to his people as their king. The picture of God as a shepherd going before his people so as to remove all obstacles to blessing for them, as he leads them like sheep out of the fold to the pasture, that picture easily gives way to God being viewed as a king who goes in front of his people, leading them. One of the characteristics I found out about the Israelis when they go to war, very different from the way we fight. When we fight, the general stays behind, and a lot of the commanders stay behind, but it's the buck privates and the corporals that are out in front. In Israel, that's not the way it is. The first lieutenants say, you guys need to learn how to fight, follow me. So the first lieutenants go out there. And often they lose a lot of first lieutenants when they go to war. But at least the other men learn how to fight because these first lieutenants are trained, they're skilled, they're equipped. Well, the Lord here is king, is going to go out in front of his people. He is the warrior. He is a warrior king. So, other passages like Isaiah 33:22, Zephaniah 3:15, Zechariah 14:9 predict the Lord's reign as king over Israel and over the entire earth, in fact. So God will indeed fulfill his promises to Israel as her king in literal fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. The lesson is big. At Christ's second coming, God will regather all 12 tribes that descended from the patriarch Jacob, bringing them back into the land of Israel that he might function as their shepherd and their king. Like a shepherd, he will unite Israel and Judah as one nation, thronging with a noisy multitude, and clear the way of all obstacles to their blessing. And as a king, he will go on in front of his people, guiding them as their leader in stable security. Bunch of applications on this one. Even though we're talking about Israel and the Messianic Kingdom, the spiritual truths are still applicable to us. Just as Israel will relate properly to Christ to enjoy God's blessings of shepherding and ruling them, we believers in the church today must fellowship with Christ to enjoy his shepherding and his rule. It's very true. If we're out of fellowship with the Lord, if we're harboring sin in our hearts, not only will the Lord not hear us, like the psalm says, but we don't enjoy the shepherding of the Lord and the leadership of our Lord as our King. We have to fellowship with him. And like a shepherd, just as Israel and Judah will need to relate rightly to Christ to enjoy great unity as a noisy throng of people bustling with vigor and motivation, we believers in the church must relate well to the Lord to enjoy true unity. Someone has pictured unity kind of like the spokes on the wheel. The hub of the wheel is like Christ, and we are the spokes. The closer we get to the Lord, the closer we get to one another. But if we're away from the Lord, we're further back from one another. I think of 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is constantly cleansing us from all sin. Number three. Since the solution to the problem of sin in the people of Judah and Israel will be God himself, we believers in the church must realize that we cannot produce our own blessings. We need to rely on the Lord himself for every blessing we need, both individually and corporately as a body. I'm coming to see this more and more in my own Christian walk. Christ is the head of the church, and as the head of the church, he's the life of the church. And this is why the Lord wants us, as long as we observe the Lord's table, to remember him. We have to remember him because you take a focus away from the Lord Jesus himself, the church will dry up on the vine. The church, the vigor of the church, the motivation of the church, the power in the church, it all comes directly from our Savior. So we've got to keep our relationship with the Lord absolutely pristine. Number four, the huge contrast between Israel's current lack of blessing and her experience as a noisy throng of people in the kingdom indicates that we believers in the church will face either a spiritual famine without the Lord's blessing or a feast with it. There's no middle ground. May we then cleave to the Lord for his blessing, feast, to avoid the severe famine of a lack of blessing. John 15:5 is kind of close. It's not a perfect verse for this, but it's a good one. John 15:5, Jesus said that he was the vine, we are the branches. He said, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. He didn't say you'll bear some. If you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. But then he turns around and says, without me, you can do nothing. It's extreme. We either do nothing or we bear much fruit if we're in fellowship with the Lord, for a fellowship with the Lord. It's absolutely important that we stay really close to the Lord. I was struck by this. I know this is just two verses. And later in the book of Micah, we're going to get into a more prolonged series of sections on the kingdom. But these two pictures of the Lord, our Savior as a shepherd and then as our King, and he's both, are extremely rich. And it does us well to remember how completely and utterly dependent we are upon the Lord for everything. On Sunday, when I came to church, I every now and then check and make sure the bears haven't gotten into the trash. And they hadn't gotten into the trash, and I was very grateful. I set it up. Then Kathy Benetti came in. She says, I see the bear got into the trash. I said, what? And the bear had gotten in the trash after we got in the church. And she saw him out here crossing the road. You know, he was making his rounds. And sure enough, everything was scattered. And Kathy says, well, make one of the deacons go out and pick it up. So I said, no, I'm not going to do that. So I went out and did my little duty, picked it up, put it in, you know. And I had a little bit of ammonia left, so I dumped it in there. And I've added a little bit of ammonia today. So far, he's leaving it longer. Hopefully, I don't know. But I remember as I was going to do that, years ago when I was Bible college, the first job that I had was working in the kitchen. I had to take the trash out. And I remember as a young man thinking, look, I'm in Bible college. I thought my days of taking the trash out were over with. And I found out then they weren't. And you know what? I've been pastoring here for 40 years. They're still not over with. And God wants us to be vigilant in the calling that he's given us. He's our shepherd and he's our king, and we're his subjects. So that's something I'm learning more and more, to follow the Lord.